The Retirement Resource, Episode 9, Building a Team for Success in Retirement. Welcome to The Retirement Resource, the one place committed to providing the information, resources, and tools you need to navigate the often complex world of retirement planning with confidence and clarity. We're going to discuss both the financial and non-financial aspects of a successful retirement, and we're going to have fun. Welcome back to The Retirement Resource, the one place committed to giving you the tools and information and experts you need to help you navigate the often complex world of retirement planning. I'm Bo Henderson. And I'm here today with Coach Joe Shum from Soul Patch Hippo, and we're going to dig a little deeper into something we've talked about a lot in the past on The Retirement Resource. We talk about the importance of building a team around you or building your financial team or and even beyond. We went out in as far as adding coaches to the mix. Could be your personal trainer. Building that team that supports you and your definition of a rich life retirement. So Joe, as we dig a little deeper into this idea of how do I build a team or what's the right way to go about building a team, is there a one thing that if we could say this is the essential thing we need to get right that we need to know?
Yeah, Bo, I'm glad that you set me up so wonderfully for that. Yeah, what I call it is establishing a foundation of trust. I'm going to say that again for all of you out there, establishing a foundation of trust. What do I mean by that? So what I'm asking you to do is to really take a moment and set an intention for yourself that you are going to build this team to be the successful team of counselors that will give you a rich life, and that you do it with purpose. You think it through and you do it with purpose. So what is that, right? So look, it's real easy to build a team. We could build a team, Bo, you and I, in 5 minutes. Right. You know, your brother-in-law, your neighbor, the guy down the street, and two people you work with, that'll give you your accountant, your lawyer, your financial planner. It connects everybody right there. And they all can be fabulous, fabulous professional providers of services and counseling for you. However, for them, not you.
Got it.
Right? For your brother-in-law, for your neighbor, they might be the greatest person in the world. For you, it's not a match.
I think all of us have worked in some capacity, whether it's running a business or in an organization, or most of us have. And I think we can all relate to that concept of having people maybe on the seats on the bus, so to speak, but yeah, having the wrong people in the wrong seat on the bus,
yeah,
it just doesn't work, or it works, it's inefficient, or it gets locked up, or you run into issues with a lot of drama and all the kinds of things that tend to come when you have the wrong person in the wrong seat on the bus, so to speak. So I see why this is really important for us to figure out, okay, so how do I really go about finding these team members that are the right fits? Because it's easy, you know, like you said at the beginning, Joe, it's easy for us just to say, hey, here's you, here's your job. Oh, you like what we do? Come over here, here's your job. And yeah, just really putting people in spots. But how do we very really intentionally find this person for this role in the bigger context of our mission? And our purpose, right?
Okay, so great. And so here's what we're gonna do. That's what we're doing is we're closing reality gaps here, right? We're trying to open up some views that will elevate our connection when we're interviewing these different folks. All right, so what I'm saying here is this. There are basically sort of five different ways we have a conversation with people. And okay, I'm gonna go through those for you out there. And so that you can look for sort of the triggers of when you're meeting with someone, is this a person that's receptive to you and what you want for yourself? Are they a connection for you? Remember this, focus on the person, not the thing. Don't worry about right now that, you know, the accountancy or the financial planning capability or, you know, how many law degrees they have. Mm-hmm. That can happen in meetings 2 and 3 as you dig into detail. What I want for you, especially in the first meeting, is to see if you have a connection. All right? See if you have a connection. And it starts like this. If we look at sort of like conversation, In a conversation, we're going to come in and we're going to meet with folks. And I want you to look for five different basic sort of, I don't know, temperatures to take when you're connecting with someone and to see if they're truly connecting back with you. If you find someone that is a resistor, that means they're not feeling in alignment with you in some way. They want to influence you to their point of view. They could be a very capable professional offering amazing services. However, their services are based on their process, their system alone, and that is what really concerns them. What that doesn't do for you is it doesn't consider what you really want.
Mm. So the resistor, a good way to look at the resistor would be their focus is on their agenda, not necessarily you.
You got it. Exactly. They have strong beliefs. They have strong opinions, but they're not open to influence in any way.
Okay.
It's about them. It's their agenda. And so that's probably the hard, if you're looking at sort of a speedometer, a life speedometer, Bo, that's hard on the left, right? That's 0 miles an hour. You're trying to go and you're stuck in the mud here in Georgia, right?
But when it comes to a lot of these professional roles, it's pretty prevalent out there, this role.
Yeah, exactly. This persona, mm-hmm. if we think of a persona as a mask, it's what we wear, it's what we show up in. Right. This persona is very popular among the professions. They have a known system. This is what they believe in. They may even be able to ask you certain questions that feel like they're taking an interest in you. They are still persuading you to come on board to their system, as opposed to meeting you and doing something that's much more co-creative, which we'll talk about in a minute. So yes, so be aware of this because this certain personalities that may not suit yours. If we were to move the speedometer forward a little bit, we're picking up some steam, we might get someone who's a little more what I call the skeptic. They're still out of alignment with you though, right? They're raising doubt. I want to learn more from you, but... You hear a lot of buts. I have this idea. I want to go to Africa and take photos of wild animals. That's great, but
right.
That's dismissive. They are not convinced that what you want for yourself is helping them get whatever it is they want for themselves. All right? They're appearing doubtful. There's some judgment in there. And so you're still having to decide whether or not they're on your team.
Got it.
All right. Does that make sense?
Would it be fair to say the skeptic, when we see that mask or that persona, that they're more convinced that their ideas about you and what's right for you to them is more correct than necessarily your ideas about you and what you need and what you're moving towards?
Yeah, I think you want to be curious about yourself. You want them to be curious about you too. Okay. If they leap right into a discussion with you about what their system is all about, what's happening is they're doing all the talking and you're doing all the listening. All right. What's the point of that? I would want them to want to take an interest in me.
So I think a good warning sign that we're running into a skeptic is, do we feel that someone that we're talking to or maybe interviewing to be a team member is being dismissive of our ideas and our goals? That would be a good warning sign.
Possibly dismissive, very minimum judgmental about them.
Okay.
Right? And what it could mean a lot of things, none of which you should necessarily take personally. Mm-hmm. They may be scared of what it is you're bringing to them. They've never had someone come to them and say, I'd like to do this with my retirement.
Right.
Wait a minute. You know, all I know is how to retire someone in this particular fashion. I'm not ready to explore with you. It's not that they're a bad person. This is just not something they're comfortable with, right?
I think as we talk about these personas and these masks, Joe, that's an important thing you just brought up. These are not bad things about any individual. They're tendencies that certain behaviors that tend to show in certain situations with certain people.
Yes, yeah, how they're built.
Right.
Right? And they can be wildly successful this way and wildly comfortable this way. However, you have an agenda and you want it to be addressed.
Resistor, yeah. We have a skeptic. What would be our third?
He's sort of the middle of the road, top of the dial person, right? Dr. Judith Glaser, who is the founder of the idea of conversational intelligence, calls this person the wait and see. Mm. And basically waiting to see, you know, what others are doing before committing. They may say, you know, I'd like to work with this client in this way. I'm just not sure yet how legitimate this is. I mean, is this going to affect my business? How is it going to show up for me? I'm uncertain, you know. Am I being valued and accepted for my talents in an effort to try and help you, the client who's interviewing them? So they're a bit tentative, and they may not sure if they can trust you yet to follow through on what it is you want. Or it's just two people that are kind of circling each other, trying to figure out if these are two people that want to work together. So when you're in a conversation like that and you're interviewing a potential team member, think about what it is that they're doing. Are they being inquisitive? Are they trying to figure out things? Are you asking them back? You know, what might concern you about someone like me who's coming with an idea like this? Get
right.
to know them, all right? So be as inquisitive with them as they are with you.
Well, that brings up a question, Joe. So based on our individual behaviors, personality, and situation, is there scenarios where any one of these personas could actually be exactly what you need in a certain situation? Or are we kind of going in order of where we're moving towards?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think I want to say immediately about specifics in life that have grave seriousness around them. For instance, in family law, when you're working with going through a divorce, mm-hmm. right? Then I think you might find that you're going to have team members in the family law section that are going to be somewhere between a skeptic and wait and see. It's the nature mm-hmm. of that business, right? They come in wanting to defend,
right,
and defend their own reputation and their own skill set, and also defend for you as their client. So a conversation like that might tend in that culture to be skeptical to start.
Right.
Right. So that's one in which they have been trained of in a culture to come in skeptical. They may themselves may not necessarily be that outside of the office.
Right.
So, you know, think about that. However, if I'm talking to a financial planner and I say to them, I would like to live on a cruise ship for the rest of my life, and they go, I'm not so sure that's possible, then that's not for me. For someone, right. it might be fine. Oh, look, you know, that's me with my wild idea. I'm out of sight with that. However, I would rather be the person who says, all right, what's going on there? What is it about cruising that's so important to you? Let's figure out what we can do.
Right.
And then we move up the speedometer, right, and we're gaining speed and we're feeling better about a particular interview with somebody, we get into the experimenter, you know, someone who's really interested in figuring out how we can discover what's best out of the current thinking that's going on right now in this room.
Okay.
What's best for us, right? What's happening here? I'm willing to take the risk if you are, and it allows you with a sense to gain a sense of, hey, I'm excited about this guy or this gal, and she's gonna really at least take an interest in me. You're not gonna make a decision in one meeting. I highly recommend against that. I think you want to meet and you want to connect with people over a series of meetings. What I'm saying for you here is look for the people that are more interested in a co-creative state, which is really, that's when the needle's pinned all the way to the right, Bo.
Okay.
So folks, listen, this is what I'm saying. If you find that person who says, wow, this is super exciting. I want to take cruises. I want to live on a cruise ship too. How can we create something new together? What's the possibility of creating something? We're ready and willing to transform this reality for you and me as your provider. Let's go. That's a jackpot.
Got so co-creator.
Yeah, a co-creator. That's someone who's saying to you, they may use the word collaborative. Mm-hmm. As you know, we've defined this in earlier episodes. I like co-creative. I find it to be a little more unifying. My point being, when you hear people say, wow, what is it it's going to do to make this happen? Look, meetings 2, 3, 4, whatever you choose, those are the meetings you're going to start coming up with numbers and budgets and things like this and behavior modification at the tactical level to create, you know, an ability to go and retire with the right amount of money and the right amount of security and the right amount of estate planning and the right amount of legal care. However, it all starts with trust, not just between you and the individual provider, but for them with each other, Bo.
Right.
So folks, that's what I'm saying to you. Your first step is to connect to them, and you want them to be able to connect with each other. This is not a game of silos, right? This is not a conversation that happens in unique containers. I want to connect my financial planner with my legal person, whether it be estate planning or business attorney or accountant or whatever. Or if I do find myself dealing with elder care issues, so I have a legal specialty, or family law issues, I'm going through a divorce, or something significantly finite, that the rest of the team is aware of this. This is what makes, you know, driving, you know, in that journey, if we use the speedometer metaphor, that's what allows me to keep the pedal down and moving forward at a faster pace.
No, I love what we've done here. So we name some things, so that when we name things, we can become aware of them, right? So we gave some very good tools, Joe, and go through them one more time from left to right in order.
Think about these things again, everybody. When I meet with somebody, am I meeting a resistor, right? I want to influence you to my point of view. Are they skeptical? Hey, I may be out of alignment with you. I'm raising some doubt. That doesn't mean they can't be a good provider for you, but they're coming in a little bit skeptical. They want you to sell them as much as you want them to sell you. Then you've got this person at the top of the dial, the seesaw or the wait and see approach. They're uncertain, but they're valuing your time and you're valuing theirs, right? There's a mutual acceptance that we want to get to know each other. Then we move to experimenter, and then, of course, the coup de grace, which is co-creator. And those are people that are going to see an opportunity to work with you as being really exciting and fun and interesting and a learning opportunity for them. These are real gems when you're building a team.
Joe, again, thank you so much for the tool and the naming system, so to speak. And that's a challenge I have for everyone today, is as you're having conversations, start practicing. It might be when you go to the bank. It might be when you talk to your CPA. Start listening and seeing what characteristics are showing up. And is this the person that I really need on my team? Because what you talked about, Joe, if we're not, one, co-creating and collaborating with our team members, and two, they're not co-creating, collaborating with each other, we're putting a very bad position in some cases, and that it's great. Hey, we have all these individual people that we go to for advice, but if they're not talking together, they're going to come back with some conflicting things for you to do or some advice, and you're left in the middle to figure it all out anyway, which you're probably in the same position with if you had no team to work with at all, if they don't collaborate, right?
I love it. Yeah. I mean, think about yourself as being the business owner. You're a business and you're the owner of your own business, which is you, your life. Right. Okay. So think about yourself in that perspective. And yes, you can have five or six great team members, but they're all operating from a resistor or skeptic sort of principle or perspective. And so they're not going to be interested in working with each other because they all have their own system that they want to exercise you in. Right. And they could actually be in conflict with each other. And then where are you at, as you say? So that's a great way to wrap that up, Bo.
Pay attention to these styles. Look for these characteristics. And what I love about the conversation and where we're going, Joe, it's about getting away from this old model in the context of retirement that we talk a lot about. This old model of being passive, just saying, hey, my dad used this person, my brother-in-law used this person, they have some fancy credentials, so I'm passively going to delegate my financial future, my meaningful fulfillment retirement strategy to this person and blindly trust them to an extent, or this team, and taking this very, and moving from that passive model that's an old model that needs to be changed to this very proactive model to, you're right in the center of this. You're not out to the side, out left field, hoping things work out. You're right in the center. You're the director. You're the captain of your ship. We've used that before. So I think that's really powerful about the conversation we had today, Joe. And I thank you so much for bringing us that metaphor, that analogy, that we could really kind of get our minds around it.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. And, you know, like I said, what I would say to you folks is this: be curious and don't take things personally. And try and leave the judgment at home when you go to meet, all right? You want to know as much as you can about them And you want them to know as much as they can about you. You want them to be curious. You want them to be judgment-free. And you want them to ask you good questions. So I love your idea of practice, Bo. Practice, practice, practice. Practice the questions. Decide what you want. And I'm not just talking about questions that are an exchange of information. I'm talking about powerful questions that ask people what it is that makes them do what they do.
Right.
And be who they are. Because these are people that are going to be handling extremely important logistical things, decisions, helping you make decisions that are huge in your rich life.
Well, you're going to love this segue. So we've talked so much about co-creation. And for more co-creation and a conversation that we're going to move to on the next episode of the Rich Life Show is strategy. Do you have a strategy? And some of the answers and some of the things we talk about just might surprise you. But we'll see you right here next time on the Retirement Resource. Well, it's been a great conversation, Joe, about building a team to help us navigate this retirement successfully. Now, next time on the show, I'm going to be going over your top retirement questions and concerns that you sent in. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a great show right here on the Retirement Resource.